Good morning, everyone. I want to start off with sharing a little testimony. Basically, last week sometime, I was spending having a quiet time with God, and I felt him say to me, Abby, I want you to share something with your Gateway family. I didn't know exactly what he wanted me to say. I just knew that he was asking me to step out in faith and be obedient. My first response was like, "Ish, no, I'm okay. I think I'm okay, God. It's too scary. I'll be fine." But he really did press something on my heart. He just kept saying, "Abby, I want you to share, I want you to share." So then I said, "Okay, God, if you really do want me to share, please ask my dad to come and tell me to, because I'm not volunteering." Ask me to. And so, I'm sitting in the lounge. I'm on my phone, just like minding my own business. My dad walks in and says, "Abby, I'd like you to share something on Sunday. Or would you like to share something on Sunday?" And I was like, "Okay, flip God, this is you talking. I'm going to wait on you and hear what you want me to say." So I do believe that every single believer has a story to tell of God's goodness. 1 Peter 2 verse 9 says, "But we are a chosen people, a people for his own possession, that we may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." So to get down to the nitty-gritty, most of us will say that we love Jesus. And on most days, we do believe that he has a divine plan and purpose for our lives, which, by the way, he does. He really does. But on the whole, we do our best to live for him. And sometimes, if we're honest, it's really difficult. We struggle. God never said that living for him would be easy, or picking up our cross, dying to our own desires and doing what's right is never an easy thing. We're in the middle of a spiritual war, and there's no time out. There's no breaks. We need to be filled with the truth daily, God's word, because Satan comes at us with his lies daily. We've been given an arsenal of spiritual weapons, and we can't afford to neglect these. God doesn't want us to be filled with fear, though. He doesn't want us to worry, but he does want us to remember that we are in a war. Yeah. I read this quote the other day that says, "Nobody has the ultimate self-determination that empowers them to overcome their own bondage and their own blindness. But when we choose Christ above the things that choke God's life out of us, then Christ breaks in and his Holy Spirit empowers us." We can't do it on our own, but his Holy Spirit empowers us. And so begins this process of freedom and healing. John 8 verse 36 says, whom the Son sets free is free indeed. We find freedom in one place and through one person, and that is Jesus Christ. Even if you have been addicted for something for years, which I have, it is possible to live in freedom despite your experience. So choose Christ and choose life. Amen. Romans 6, verse 6 to 7 says, "We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin, for one who has died has been set free from sin." And then also Galatians 5 verse 1, you might have seen it on the board when you walked in. It says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm therefore and do not be tied down by the bondage of sin. Don't let this gift of freedom go to waste." It's a gift, guys. Take hold of it. I heard this preacher once describe what it means to be fully free, to be free indeed, and he broke it down into four components. To be fully free, you need to have the freedom of opportunity, the freedom of ability, the freedom of desire, and the freedom of no regrets. And I'm going to use a little illustration. Basically, I went to Northern Ireland with some friends two weeks ago, and we went coasteering, which some of you may know as cliff jumping, into the ocean. Honestly, it was the most fun I've had in years. It was such a thrilling experience. But I'd like to use this as an illustration to dive deeper into these four points of freedom. Daniel, do you have the videos? Just so you get an idea of what it is. Whoa. That was one of the pros. He could do like backflips and front flips and everything. It was really cool. And then you can see Speedy over there jumping. Then we're climbing back up the cliff in the last one.
Whoa, is that you?
Yeah, that was me. Is there anyone? So, to use this as an illustration, imagine that glorious feeling, the adrenaline rush of cliff jumping, falling at 32 feet per second with the wind in your face and then hitting the water and being submerged in absolute quiet, cool surroundings. Then swimming to the edge, climbing up the cliff, and jumping again, doing it over and over. I suppose if you had a fear of heights, this wouldn't be such a fearing experience, but please stick with me. So suppose you're driving to the coast, everything's free. Everything's prepped. You've got your wetsuits and you're ready for some jumping, but along the way you get a flat tire and you don't have a spare, and while you're waiting for a tow truck, the ocean tide goes out and you miss your opportunity. So you lose that freedom of opportunity. But this is not so for believers in Christ. Do you know that? That once you're saved, your opportunity for freedom is a done deal. It's a done deal. You've got it. You just need to appropriate your freedom by walking into what God has already purchased for you. Excellent. Second scenario is, let's say you don't get a flat tire and you make it to the coast and the tide is just right, but when you arrive, you don't have a clue about the safety rules of cliff jumping. You don't have your wetsuits. The water is very cold, so a wetsuit is always a good idea. The officials don't let you jump because you don't have the ability. So the freedom of ability is gone. But again, if you are a believer in Christ, his word promises that he has given us everything we need for life and godliness. Because of Christ, every believer has the ability to live in freedom. You have the ability to live in freedom. Or thirdly, suppose you make it to the jump site, you know the safety rules, you're on top of the cliff, but as you look over the edge, your desire vanishes. You are paralyzed with fear, and you've lost that freedom of desire. It's just so at this point, some of you may dutifully jump off, but everyone knows dutiful jumping is not true freedom. It's just another kind of bondage. What you want is, I love this. I want to do this. I'm so excited. That's freedom. But you don't have it because fear has kept you bondage. The opportunity is there. The ability is there. But the freedom of desire is not. So you miss out. Again, for the believer, Christ gives us a heart of flesh and not of stone. He gives us desires to live holy, to love, to forgive, to cherish, to share, and so much more, all of which lead us to experiencing freedom in so many facets of our lives. We're almost done with this illustration, but a final scenario. Suppose you get to the jump site, you have the freedom of opportunity, you're equipped and ready, you have the freedom of ability, you look down and you just can't wait to jump, you've got all the freedom of desire, so you jump. But as you're free falling, enjoying every second of it, suddenly you realize you haven't paid attention to the boulders lurking beneath the surface of the water. They're right beneath you and they're not going to move. Are you free? I mean, you feel free in the air, but the enemy has set you up. All too often, we turn a blind eye to sin in our lives. We grow comfortable with entertaining the enemy. We may feel free from time to time, but we're stuck in a cycle of shame and confession and then shame and confession, and we have regrets. We're not truly free. In order to be fully free, we need to do business with God. We need to deal radically with the boulders of sin in our lives. We can't just ignore them, or we can't just think they're going to go away, or that we've got them under control. Very often, boulders are addictions. And every addict will tell you that an addiction controls you. You don't control it. We may be saved and on our way to heaven, but if there are hidden boulders lurking beneath the surface of the water or in our lives, we are giving the enemy permission to mess up with the freedom God wants us to live in. Jesus died not to set us half free, but to set us free on every single level. Amen. It's possible for every believer in Jesus to have this kind of freedom. Okay, so to end, I'm going to step into now one way we can practically walk in freedom, which I felt God wanted me to highlight, is regarding purity. Yes. So purity is generally defined as freedom from any contaminant or guilt or evil. It's a state of innocence. It is far more than just sexual purity. I really do believe that the power of purity is often underestimated, trampled, or overlooked in today's society. We care more about instant pleasure and maintaining beauty and appearances than protecting the purity and innocence of our hearts and our minds. Our value system looks down upon innocence and regards it as immature. But part of God's salvation is renewing our minds and Him restoring to us our innocence. He removes our shame completely. Yeah. Romans 12 verse 2 says, Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. Purity is often a subject allocated to teenagers, and we think that's and the thinking seems to be that once we break free from those teen years, we don't need to talk about it so much anymore. But the truth is, no matter how old we are, whether we are male or female, whether we are single, married, dating, or divorced, there is always a conversation to be had about purity. The battle for purity isn't just for the single. It doesn't end when you get a ring on your finger or say, I do. We are all called to be pure, to live in purity, and to love purely. 1 Thessalonians 4 verse 3 says, it's God's will that you should be sanctified. It's not as simple as just wearing a ring. That doesn't secure your purity. It isn't simply about abstaining from sex outside of marriage. Purity is about maintaining honor and integrity in your word, thought, and deed. It's not about how much you can push the boundary. It's about how far back from the boundary line you can stand. And then if there's one thing I really do want you guys to take away this morning is this quote here. Are you paying attention to what you're paying attention to? I'm going to say that again. Are you paying attention to what you're paying attention to?
Very good. Yeah.
By that, I mean realize that your thoughts take you places. Don't follow your heart before you inform your heart. What we feed our thoughts through our thinking and seeing really does impact the kind of person we become. We can see from Genesis to Revelation flows a story about purity. I mean, at times it might seem to get lost amongst the drama of war stories and humanity's failed attempt at getting things right, but a reminder can always be found, a subtle hint that above all else, God desires a pure heart and a life devoted to Him. It is the key that unlocks favor and honor and unlocks the treasures of the kingdom of heaven. It is a continuous journey that is strengthened in community and accountability and is overflowing with promises. Joshua chapter 3 verse 5 says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. The verse says will. There is no maybe or if or potentially. The Lord will do amazing things among you. God promises to answer our pure hearts with His goodness and His might and His wonder. There is freedom to be found when we walk in purity.
Yeah, very good.
So, to end, we, Gateway Church, were created to be His light carriers, illuminators of darkness. Victory isn't about winning the lottery or establishing a successful business. It isn't even about having a beautiful home or a loving family. It's about seeing godly characteristics and principles being restored to our world, to our workplaces, and within ourselves. This is seen when we let peace be our anthem and joy our foundation as we go about our day-to-day routines. On many occasions, it can seem like we're losing battle after battle, but rest assured, God is working, even when we don't understand what is happening around us.
Very good.
So, walk with Jesus and walk in freedom.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.